You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we read that the Bereans examined the scriptures daily to see if what the Apostle Paul was teaching was in fact true. Did it correspond to reality? And for that, they were commended as being noble in character. And there's an important lesson to be learned here. The Bereans were not condemned for examining what Paul said in light of Scripture. Rather, they were commended. Ultimate authority was not placed in the revelation of a man, but ultimate authority was placed in the revelation of the Word. And I can't overemphasize the importance of examining the Word of God. It's not what I say. What I say must be tested in light of what God has already said. An examination requires the use of your mind. The Bible exhorts believers to use their minds to honor God. Examining the Bible might take discipline, but the dividends are dramatic. So here's how you get going. I want to give you a couple of points. We'll go right to our callers. Find your secret place. Find a place where you can drown out the static of the world, a place where you can hear the voice of your Heavenly Father as He speaks to you through the majesty of His Word. Number two, pray. Pray that Jesus Christ will become ever more real to you through your examination of His Word. And then three, read systematically. I have a legacy reading plan that's available online at equip.org. It provides you an innovative approach to reading through God's love letters one book at a time, and that for the rest of your life. It is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than trying to piece together bits of books. Again, you can check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to your calls. First up, Creighton, Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Creighton.
Hello, Hank. I thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question was pertaining to the knowledge that one has to have to require salvation. What is the knowledge of the Bible that one has to have? To me, you have to understand what the Trinity is about.
I think the answer to that question, Creighton, is this. As I've explained many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you first have the knowledge of creation. It's an outer knowledge that lets you know there is a God. You also have the knowledge of conscience, which is an inner knowledge that there is a God. God has written a knowledge of Himself upon the canvas of your consciousness. If you respond to that light, God will give you more light. And if you read this in sequence in Romans, you have Romans chapter 1 talking about the light of creation, Romans chapter 2, the light of conscience, and Romans chapter 3, the light of Christ. So if you respond to light, you will get more light. The point, however, is this. Jesus said, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you love darkness, you're not going to come into the light because you don't want your darkness to be exposed. If, in fact, you respond to the light, you will receive the light of Christ. So it's not the absence of knowledge that damns, it is the despising of knowledge that damns. Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself to us, and if we are open to the revelation of God, we will receive the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, both for time and for eternity. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Jocelyn, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call tonight.
You are welcome.
I just have a question for you, Hank. It came up in our Bible study last week, and it kind of stood out and amazed me that in the book of Job, Satan was allowed to approach God's throne. And my question was, is he still allowed to do that?
Well, you got to remember, Jocelyn, that everything is immediately in the presence of God. That is the doctrine of omnipresence. God is everywhere present to his creation. The issue here, though, for Satan is not that Satan cannot be in the presence of God because everything is immediately in the presence of God. It is that he no longer has fellowship with God. He's estranged from God. He doesn't have relationship with God. So we can say that even those who go to hell in the end because they don't want a relationship with God and God grants them their will, their will is, I want to be separated from God. They are separated from his loving presence, but that does not mean that God is no longer omnipresent. God is always omnipresent and always will be.
Okay. All righty. Well, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate your ministry. I listen every night when I'm home from work, and I've learned so much from you. So thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for calling and for listening.
God bless you.
Okay. Want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to John listening in Kansas. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I'm tired, but I'm still kicking.
Good. I am too.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
I was reading in Matthew 21, starting in verse 33, about the evil husbandman.
Uh-huh.
And where they stoned the people that he sent to get his share of the produce. And then they sent his son, and they killed him.
Yes.
It seems to me, I may be blowing wind, but it seems to me like it was actually a prophecy about Jesus.
Well, I think you're right. In fact, the conclusion is that when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parable, they knew that he was talking about them. And so they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that Jesus Christ was a true prophet of God, that he was God in human flesh. And so they were afraid of the people. But yeah, there's a very clear parable that is pointing directly and explicitly to the Pharisees because God had revealed himself in the midst of these Pharisees and teachers of the law, and yet, with premeditation, with forethought on a continual basis, they were saying that the miracles that Jesus Christ was doing were miracles done through the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And ultimately, they would seize him and kill him because they did not honor Messiah in their midst. They did not want to turn from their traditions and recognize and worship the genuine temple in their midst, a temple not built by human hands.
Well, thank you, Hank, and I really appreciate it. That's been bugging me for quite a while.
Well, keep reading the Bible, get into the Word of God, and get the Word of God into you. There's nothing better that you could be doing. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Matthew, listening on St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Matthew.
How you doing, sir? What a pleasure. What an honor to talk with you directly. My question, Hank, is we just lost or had to put down one of our dogs, 91 years and dog years today, and I'm trying to find scripture about that. What is your view on death of is that an idol, Hank? Should we not idolize dogs?
Oh, golly, I'll tell you, if you live in my house, you would love dogs and cats. We've got a dog and more cats than I can count. Every time I turn around, I'm meeting a new cat, and my wife is kind of looking at me sheepishly and trying to make an explanation for how we got the last cat. But at any rate, yeah, I mean, I think we should love the creations of God. I mean, it's just unbelievable how creative God is, and that he's given animals to us that we can enjoy and love and have a relationship with. And of course, if you look at the Garden of Eden, what do you find? You find animals. There's no way in which we should think that when paradise restored is a reality as a result of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that there won't be animals there as well.
That's our hope. Yeah, right. God has done a great work for you. I'll continue to follow you.
Well, I'll tell you, I really appreciate your encouragement. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for listening to the broadcast.
God bless you, Hank. Bless your family.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that I need your support. If you have not yet supported the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, please take that step today. Either join the support team or make a one-time gift. But please support us. We need your support, whether large or small. Every bit helps. We need your support this month so that we can continue on track. There are so many people that need to hear this broadcast, that desperately want to hear this broadcast. You can be the conduit, the way through which that happens. So if you could stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do that online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to Andre in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Andre.
Hello, Hank. And first and foremost, I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
And my question was, if you could share your thoughts on Jimmy Swaggart and his ministry. And also, on a similar note, if I could ask a quick second question, are we to expect, as some say, a great move of God or a great revival before Jesus comes back? And if there is basis for that in Scripture?
Well, as far as Jimmy Swaggart is concerned, I think that there are a lot of problems with his teachings. Most of them are on secondary issues, both with respect to faith and practice. But he's not a representative of the kingdom of God that, in general, I would recommend that you follow. I think there are a lot better teachers that you could be listening to. In terms of a great revival, let me say this, that throughout all history, there are going to be times of revival and there are going to be times of rebellion. And those kinds of cycles are going to continue until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So right now, there is a great revival taking place in China. The church is growing by huge strides. It is growing so rapidly that it is hard to believe, quite frankly. You find this kind of growth in Christianity in what you call Southern Christianity. I don't mean in the South, I mean in Asia and Africa and South America. There you have what you might genuinely call revival. In the West, you find a declining church, a church that is becoming more and more like the culture, becoming a microcosm of the culture as opposed to a change agent in the culture. But these kinds of things will continue to go on until the time that the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For revival to take place in the West, first Reformation has to take place in the pews. When Reformation takes place in the pews, we can start seeing that the church will once again be salt and light as opposed to being that which looks too much like the culture.
Okay. All right, thank you for that answer. But if I could just go back for a moment to the first question I asked, what are some things that you can point out that you do not agree with as far as what Jimmy Swaggart is teaching and preaching?
Well, I think he didn't appropriately deal with his own moral failures, number one. Number two, there are a lot of things that he does. He'll attack psychology and Roman Catholicism, and those are targets that are justifiably attacked, but when you do it without adequate qualification, then it becomes divisive. And I think that's a good example of where I have a great deal of difficulty with his teaching. His teaching oftentimes is muddied and blurred, and if you are not grounded in the faith once for all delivered to the saints, you can easily become confused. For example, he taught that within the Godhead, there are three separate and distinct persons, each one having his own personal spirit body, personal soul, and personal spirit. And that is a significant doctrinal error. It's called tritheism, the belief in three separate gods. He also asserted that God's body is in one place at one time. And that view is more similar to Mormonism than it is in concert with Christianity. So there are these kinds of things that are hugely problematic. Now, is he being sloppy or is he being cultic? Hard to tell, because you get kind of a muddy mixture, a diffuse kind of message that oftentimes will lead those that are not grounded in the faith into further error.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you would refer to those as, you know, the secondary things. But as far as...
Well, the things I just mentioned actually are essential things. Now, whether he is simply suffering from cognitive dissonance or whether he's actually teaching outright heresy, I don't know. I'm just saying that you could find a better teacher to listen to than Jimmy Swaggart.
All right, Hank. Appreciate your answer. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to William. Hello, William.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, on the millennium, I know the Bible's not real clear and has a lot of information, but my thought is that we as Christians will be transformed into our heavenly image. So during the millennium, the ones who are talking about marriage, given in marriage and children, are the ones that are left behind. We will rule them as kings and priests. Is that in line with the Bible?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that believe that there is going to be a secret coming and then 7 years later a second coming, and people will be saved after the second coming. And then there's going to be a 1,000-year semi-golden age with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. And people will be born during the millennium who will be born and conceived in sin, subject to all manner of miseries, yea, to condemnation itself. And there's an atonement that happens. Jesus Christ himself presides over it.
That would be at the second resurrection, right? Now, we're not talking about the first.
The
second resurrection.
What they believe is there's a secret coming. 7 years later, there is a second coming. And after the second coming, people are saved. During the millennium, people are saved, but there are also people who are born and conceived in sin who rebel against God, and therefore you have the ultimate rebellion that takes place after the millennium. So this is a view that's called premillennialism that I would not personally accept. I think when Jesus...
I don't do that either, but what my question is, if you and I had died today and go to heaven,
yeah,
we would not come back to earth during the millennium and get married and have children.
Well, that's what I believe. My dad died in 1997, so he's absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's awaiting the second return of Jesus Christ. At that time, his soul will return to his body, and he will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. He will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and he will live in a perfect new heaven and new earth forever and ever and ever. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So,
right. And this is what this stemmed from is Mark 12:25, when Jesus was asked about whose husband this woman will be in heaven. And Jesus said that there will not be marriage nor given in marriage, but we will be like the angels. And my concept on that is true, that we will not, because we will be changed into our heavenly form. And in heaven, there's no need for marriage, for children, for repropriating the heavens. So,
yeah, heaven is the homeland. It's not the breeding colony.
Right, but the person I'm ministering this to believes that where it says that those that are dead now will not be the ones that are being married and joined back with their husbands and wives in the millennium and reign. I understand it that these are people that would be left behind, that we will, I'm not talking about pre-trib or after-trib, I'm just talking about the second coming of Christ. I believe that what happens before the millennium, and then they have, because to me, the first resurrection is when we're caught up with Christ. The dead shall rise first, and we're caught up would be the first resurrection, and the second one, resurrection, is after the millennium.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with any of that, but here's the point. The point from my perspective is the main and the plain words of Jesus Christ, "Do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be condemned." When Jesus Christ comes back, those who have gone before will be changed. They'll be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We who remain, who are still alive, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We will live in a new heaven and a new earth. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We're out of here today. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.